everyone. Welcome to the Business Podcast by Ruhi. So today I'll be joined by Sandeep Balaji, who has over 20 years experience in the business development kind of space. So Sandeep, would you be willing to kind of share a quick like overview about yourself and what you do?
Thanks a lot, Ruhi, for having me on your podcast. So my name is Sandeep. I've been in technology. I started my career in technology. I have about 20 years of experience, but I've sort of focused more on business development and marketing over the years. So I've been an entrepreneur for the last 13 years, and my main focus is in a growth advisory business called Incrementum X. So we work with multiple startups and mid-sized companies to help them scale in their in their own market or cross border markets, if that helps from an explanation point of view.
Okay, wow, that's amazing. So now I would like to kind of delve into, so you talked about business development. So my first question was kind of, so what are the strategies and advice you will give for startups in the early stages of their business development?
Okay, so Ruhi, let me just step back here a little bit and give you a little bit of context. So oftentimes people confuse sales and business development, right? And especially a lot of services companies, business development titles are given to salespeople and sales titles are given to business development people. So sales and business development are very close, but they're not exactly alike. Sales is just running, closing a pipeline, and fueling the growth of a company because you're selling to one particular set of customers. Business development is a little bit more strategic in my mind, because you'll have to figure out how you can actually expand the growth of your business. It could be a one is to many sort of a sale, or it could be some other way through which you get more value than just one iterative sales. So that's the first part. Directly coming to your question, early stage startups have a lot of options to go out and do business development. I think the one thing that today is very much in vogue is what you call the inbound method, right? So you create content, you create authority, you create brand relevance for yourself as the entrepreneur or as a founding team and the business, and you drive inbound traffic to your website, your app, etc. That will offer a lot of opportunities. So when you also can map out who are the people who can potentially buy from you, who are the people who can potentially collaborate with you, who are the people who have the right set of customers but really don't leverage on this aspect that you focus on. So there are various different actors that you need to focus on and have strategies for each one of them. And it's very, very critical that in an early stage environment, you don't fire too many bullets at the same time. You have to conserve energy, time, money, essentially. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, that completely answers my question. And you made a great point about how the focus should be on inbound marketing. So content and brand relevance as entrepreneurs and just building inbound traffic rather than just doing direct cold calls or just direct selling to people. That was a great point.
No disrespect, Ruhi. I mean, I think the outbound direct calls are very important, but they need to be complementary to what you build with respect to your brand. And today, a lot of decision makers are already on LinkedIn or reading blogs, etc. So you need to preempt them and be relevant in the places where they're consuming the information.
Exactly. You kind of have to also go on those platforms where your connections and your leads are the most active, and then you have to add value to them, and you have to position yourself as somebody who has an authority, as somebody who has kind of brand relevance, and you have to create content with that in mind.
Yes, absolutely. So the other thing which is very important is if I were to do, I did recently write a post, I think it was on LinkedIn, I'm not sure, but if I were to redo or recreate my entrepreneurial journey, I think a couple of things that I felt very relevant at an early stage, which I didn't have too much access to, is I think I should have had access to more people who have done that journey in a similar or a different sort of fashion. I should have access to a lot more subject matter experts. So if you want to do business development for an early stage startup, you ideally want to be talking to a lot of established sales leaders or business development leaders or people who have started startups and gone on to scale, because that different set of perspectives, again, you have to understand, you will get a lot of information, a lot of different perspectives. You have to probably discard probably 80% of them, 90% of them. And you have to only use the ones that are applicable, right? But you need to go and gather the data from people who have done it, who've been in the pits before.
Yeah, exactly. You brought about a great point about how you can't just like rely on yourself. You also have to look beyond yourself and find out those people who are more like-minded or who are already experts in that space, and then kind of see what they've done and then pick and choose kind of what you want to implement as well into your own business, onto your own entrepreneurial kind of journey.
Yep.
So my next question is kind of along the lines of, so say like, what is your best advice for customer acquisition? So at the international level, we are say local customers, and what's your strategy? Like, is it an inbound strategy or is it an outbound strategy? Or so what's your take on that?
Okay. So here, what I would like to define is, if you are running a tech business, which is a tech product business, which is either SaaS or a standalone business, you really should not be differentiating between your international customers and your domestic customers. They are a customer. What? Right? I mean, so you have customers in different stages. For example, you've just launched a product. You probably have a beta release and you have a certain set of customers. You take feedback from them and then you roll out, you incorporate the feedback and then you roll out into a larger release in future with more customers. So I wouldn't really differentiate between international customers and domestic customers. However, if you're running a service business, then there are certain things that you need to tweak from your pitch point of view. One is you have to be culturally and contextually relevant to the customers based on where they're from. That's number one. Number two is most services companies will not display their price on the website. So based on the country that you're trying to sell into, you need to understand what is the willingness to pay and accordingly tweak your pricing in that regard, right? Now, what do I prefer, inbound, outbound? Well, today I don't think we all have a preference, right? So we've reached that scenario where with regards to the pandemic, we have to leverage on all the channels that is out there. So my stack, the way I see it right now, at least in my growth advisory business, is essentially fourfold. I leverage on referrals, which is either network of mine or network of networks of mine. Obviously, the second part would be outbound, but outbound has to be very tweaked on contextual things. Like, for example, I know a decision maker in a particular company at a particular level would be interested. Is he sending out the right signal? So then making outbound is a very sniper approach compared to a spray and pray approach. So that's outbound. Inbound, yeah, I mean, like you create a lot of content, but which is relevant. You also have to look at the different signals in terms of use tools like Buzzsumo or Google Keyboard Planner so that you know what is the content that needs to be created. You look at Google Trends, you go to LinkedIn, you find out what are the articles that are trending in a particular space. You build your authority, you connect with the people there, and then you drive them in. So it's the three key things that I was telling you about. So you got referrals, you got outbound, strategic outbound, inbound, and the final things, or actually the final thing that I would consider is alliances, right? So alliances in terms of, so that's more in line the sort of BD aspect that you're talking about, is can you reach out to companies that are not exactly the similar space, but they're the same customer base? Or can you couple your product along with somebody else's product who's already selling, who has a huge customer base? There are multiple win-win scenarios that you can consider doing.
Yeah, you shared an amazing point. I loved your kind of fourfold approach of like referrals, then outbound, inbound. But the one that I was kind of unaware slash like not really using as much is the point on alliances. So kind of leveraging somebody else's customer base and kind of finding a win-win kind of situation. That was like an amazing point.
Yeah, so Ruhi, you have to bear in mind, it's not always about customer base, okay? So you would have a customer base, somebody else would have a customer base, but how do you put that 1 + 1 = 3? It's got to be greater than the parts, right? So it's if somebody has 5,000 customers who are very relevant and who have willingness to pay, then unfortunately, you will not be the only person who's knocking at their doors, right? So you need to really understand and articulate your value very clearly. It could be that you basically figure out a way to kind of look at a coupling of their service with your product, or their product with your product, or any of these combinations, which will add value to everybody. So it adds value to the end customer, adds value to the person that you're collaborating with, and adds value to you because you're making money out of it. So unless it is a clean, multi-party win-win, there is no point going there.
Yeah, so yeah, you made a great point about how it should be like a multi-party win-win. Otherwise, like these alliances may not work and they may not get you everybody on like having the same kind of
They might not last.
So my next kind of question was, so what's your best advice for operating in an international what's your best advice for operating an international business?
I have been on different sides of the table when it comes to talking about international business or operating across borders. So I started my career with a very Indian company and worked across India, Southeast Asia, and Japan, with probably maximum time in Japan. So when you start with a company whose core roots are in one particular country, I think the culture becomes very ingrained to the company, to the country where the company originated from, right? Today's day and age, you have to be global from get-go. If you're a startup, you're not going to survive on just local customers. You might have few local customers to validate your business model, but then you're pretty much international straight up. So again, going back to the point that I raised earlier, you have to be culturally relevant. You have to be contextually relevant. You have to have the right pricing for the right market because you don't want to be underselling or overselling. And you need to be constantly taking feedback, which you apply in one market or several set of markets. I think those are some of the things which are very vital to consider when you're operating in a cross-border sort of environment. The other thing that oftentimes a lot of entrepreneurs miss, or even a lot of large companies miss, is there is innovation that comes out of every country in the world. Can you harness that innovation? And can you use that innovation for the best advantage in a market or multiple set of markets? I think those are also things that we need to, it might be difficult at a startup stage because you obviously the resources are limited, the time is limited. But it's always good to keep things in mind, because oftentimes a startup will have to pivot. You've seen that with a lot of companies. A lot of the companies that have gone on to become unicorns didn't start out wanting to do the business that they're doing right now, right? So if you're not keeping your eyes and ears open, and each market is very different, and you're assimilating this feedback, you might be shortchanging yourself.
You made a great point about like how you kind of like put it like about so as to operate an international business, you have to have like relevancy, you have to have like cultural kind of understanding, you have to have good pricing, and you have to have feedback, and you have to leverage the innovation from all the countries and create some kind of an advantage for your company. And you also have to kind of take into account that maybe you may have to also pivot and change your business to something else. And that also should be a factor when you're kind of setting up your business or whatever.
Yep, that is correct.
So what's your best...
We all offered... Sorry, Rohit. I'm just saying that we all operating in very fluid times, right? So today, from a talent pool standpoint, talent pool is available straight up on any of the platforms like Fiverr, Elance, Guru, etc. Right? So you would hire based on how much of budget you have, or you would hire based on what's the best that is out there. So that talent pool is already globally distributed. The customers that you're selling into as a startup in today's environment, you are anyway going global, straight up. Because you're going SaaS, you're going no capex or very little capex, opex-driven businesses. Yeah. So that's why you need to have an international mindset to run a business.
So, yeah. So you made a great point about business should be with the focus of an international mindset, rather than just an all local mindset, as that may not get you as far. But with an international mindset, an international business, you can have a bigger reach and you can have a more of an impact.
Yep.
So what's your best advice for somebody who wants to go in the entrepreneurship kind of line?
My best advice would be just do it. Be prepared. You will go through a lot of long periods of uncertainty, questioning yourself, a lot of self-doubts. But I think it's a very good grounding. It's like they call it the school of hard knocks, right? Not everybody is going to eventually turn out to be an entrepreneur. But I think that journey is very, very is rewarding over a period of time. So I would say that it also helps you build a lot of skills which are valuable to managerial aspects as well, like reading people, psychology, leadership, talent, a lot of those kind of things. So, I mean, yeah, figure out the right opportunity and then go do it. Yeah.
I loved your point about the school of hard knocks. So you guys can connect with Sandeep on LinkedIn, and I'll be attaching his LinkedIn link below in the podcast description. Don't forget to tune in to next week's episode, where I will be chatting with special guest Matthew Reynolds, one part of the trio behind the Instagram account at Some Guys with a Camera. We will be chatting about Instagram branding. Hope you have learned something new today and looking forward to connecting next week. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Wait. I have something for you. I would like to offer you an exclusive invite to my Facebook group, Educating and Learning Together, where you will get a chance to potentially interact with some of the guests I have brought to speak in my podcast series. If you want to receive this invite, follow me on Instagram under the handle RuhiK2. Take a screenshot of where you are listening to this podcast and write, say, 1, 2, 3 things you have learned from this episode and tag me in your Instagram story. We'll be right back.